the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Doing okay back there, Leonard? Okay. We're going to look at the 30th chapter in just a moment. I just want you to hold that spot, reminding you where we were last week when we quit. We were looking at some challenges, kind of a sidebar thing. I've been accused many times of gossiping whenever I had warned people about rebels. I mentioned the person's name and the problem we'd had with him, and somebody said, well, that's gossip. Well, then Jesus was a gossip, Paul was a gossip, Ezekiel was a gossip, gave examples from the Bible where the apostle Paul warned in Acts 20:29 about people coming in and damaging the church. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, and publicly identified the Pharisees in Matthew 7. Ezekiel named the priests and said they had made no difference between holy and profane. So our first point was legitimate scriptural warnings is not gossip. Second thing we said was public identification of rebels in a congregation is not gossip. When people are rebels and troublemakers, they need to be identified. Jeremiah 9, we read that. And Matthew 16, Jesus publicly identified the Pharisees for their evil. Mark 12:38, they were accused by Jesus of parading around in arrogance and pride. Paul publicly reprimanded Euodias and Syntyche in the church at Philippians, Philippians 4:2. And the Apostle John publicly named Diotrephes as the troublemaker in the church, seeking to undermine John's ministry. That's 3 John 9. So public identification of rebels and troublemakers is obviously not gossip. And then the third thing I wanted to begin tonight is this. Records kept to identify people with sinful patterns is not gossip. Records kept to identify people with sinful patterns is not gossip. For example, in the Old Testament teachings, it is revealed that a collection of information was often done in order to maintain a record of wrong behavior so that it could be dealt with. Exodus 17:14, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So God wanted a written record in Israel of the Amalekites and how they had treated the Israelites, and that they were not to be treated with respect in the future because they had not treated the people of God with respect. Deuteronomy 24:1, if a woman had been deceitful about her past when she married a man, a record of her divorce was kept. In Deuteronomy 24:1, it says, write her a bill of divorcement, put it in her hand and send her out. But also it was kept there. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 7 through 11 say this, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, which say to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So here's a record of people who are rebelling against the Lord and who are telling the prophets not to preach the word. And it says, make a record of these people. That's not gossip when you keep a record of rebels in an organization. 2 Corinthians 2:9, Paul wrote that he wanted information concerning the church there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and here's what he says. He says, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. So now Paul is asking for public identification of people who are obeying the things that he had said in the past. He had advised, remember, on one occasion, dealing with fornicator in the church. Now he writes to find out if the church had actually done that, if they dealt with it. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:2, he makes it clear to them that he is willing to come back and judge repeated bad behavior, and he even lists some of the things that have happened in the church at Corinth. So written records as reminders of past behavior is not gossip. So, however, you can have written records that can be used to fund or to support gossip. For example, if someone has access to written records and he uses those to discredit somebody else by releasing only a portion of them, maybe some wrong act that was taken, that could be gossip. Remember that manipulation of information is the chief characteristic of gossip. So we have looked, here's our outline so far. We looked at gossip defined. Secondly, gossip delineated, where I read out all the things that some of you had come up with about gossip. And now I want to look at number three, gossip deplored. The Bible says we should hate lying, we should hate deception, we should hate manipulation, false reports, slander, tale-bearing, busybodies, tattlings, and so forth. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because we have already seen that God's Word condemns all those things. And secondly, because God is holy and He deplores gossip. So Psalm 97:10 says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Psalm 119:104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Psalm 119:163 says, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." And that famous passage in Proverbs 6, verse 16, lists some things that God hates. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates hearts that devise wicked imaginations. He hates feet swift in running to mischief. He hates a false witness that speaketh lies. And he hates some that sow discord among the brethren. Interestingly enough, four of the seven, possibly five, all deal with gossip. Manipulating information. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The froward mouth do I hate." And there are a lot of places in both the Old and New Testament, if you just want to study them, where God says that He hates evil. And many of those things have to do with the wrong use of the tongue and or the lips. So if God does not approve a lying tongue, a deceitful report, and a dishonest witness, why would we? So gossip deplored. Gossip is deplored by God, and it is also deplored by godly people. That's number three. Number four, gossip developed. So why do people gossip? You know, babies don't come into the world. They come out in the delivery room, and the doctor holds them up, and they suddenly start gossiping. It's not how it happens. They have to be taught to gossip. They have to be taught to lie. They have to be taught to give out false information. They have to be taught to backbite other people. So the ability to gossip is something that's developed. If you read some of the public school textbooks, you'll find that majority of the textbooks reject the idea of any absolute truth. Therefore, children are being taught that following the crowd, doing what the most people are doing, is okay. They're also taught that doing the wrong thing is only human, so don't be so hard on yourself. These are things that I've read in textbooks. And I've also read this: while some people may disagree with what you do, it's okay to do whatever you want to do if you don't get caught. These are all in the textbooks. So God warns in command form that we are not to place our precious children in an environment which is antagonistic to the truth. Through Jeremiah, God says this in Jeremiah 10, verse 2, "Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." Jeremiah 10, 2. So the ungodly world should no more educate our children than we should send American troops to Iran to be trained. Sending Christian children to state schools is a step in surrender to the enemies of truth. So children learn both right behavior and wrong behavior from either their parents, their teachers, their pastors, or other people they associate with in the environment. They learn to lie from liars, and they learn to tell the truth from honest people. In Genesis 30, verse 27, we are informed Jacob is spoken to by Laban, and Laban says, I have learned from experience that the Lord hath blessed me for your sake. So we're talking here about learning. You learn right patterns and you learn wrong patterns. Deuteronomy 4:10, God told Moses, he says, gather me the people together and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children to fear me. Still today, Orthodox Jews do not allow anyone to teach their children who do not believe the same as the parents do. That's why you have so little rebellion in Orthodox Jewish communities, almost no divorce whatsoever, and almost no crime in Orthodox Jewish communities, because they punish it severely. And because the parents teach the children and they send them to synagogue schools where the people in the synagogue believe exactly what the parents believe. So Deuteronomy 18:9 says this, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of the nations. And recounting the captivity, the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 106:35, we were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. So what do you think our children will learn from mingling among the heathen? Psalm 119 verse 7 says, I shall praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, we are admonished not to associate with angry people. Here's what it says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So you see, what we learn either liberates us or ensnares us. There's no middle ground. So why place children in an environment which ensnares them? Well, if you're smart, you won't. Isaiah 1:17 challenges us. It says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. John 6:45 tells us that we are taught of God. Romans 15:4, Paul said to believers, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Philippians 4:11, Paul wrote, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:13 to be sure to oversee the younger women who learn to be idle, busybodies, wandering from house to house. So gossiping is a learned pattern. And every child will either learn from his parents or from others to be a good steward of information, an honest person, or he will learn to gossip. So we've been examining the outline. Number one, gossip defined. Number two, gossip delineated. That's where I laid out some of the things that you had said and others have said. And thirdly, gossip deplored. And now, gossip developed. We've done that one. And here's, last of all, I want to do this one. Gossip denounced. Gossip denounced. Denouncing gossip includes both condemning it as a sin and putting it out of one's life. And it is always a choice to either engage in something or not to engage in it. Acts 15:20 says, abstain from pollutions of idols. Just do it. Acts 15:29 says, abstain from fornication. Just do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Just do it. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lust. Just do it. Genesis 35:2 says, put away the strange gods that are among you. Just do it. Deuteronomy 13:5 says, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Just do it. 1 Samuel 1:14, put away thy wine from thee. Just do it. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, just do it. No excuses, just do it. Ephesians 4 is the chapter that Paul uses for put off, put on. In 4:25 of Ephesians, he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." In 4:31, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." There's no magic needed here. I can't wave a wand and we suddenly become non-gossipers. We just need to put it away. It's a discipline. It's a skill to be learned. Just refuse to traffic in corrupting communication. One of my favorite English novelists is a female writer who assumed the pen name of George Eliot. And in her book, Daniel Deronda, she wrote about gossip. Here's what she said. "Gossip is a sort of smoke that comes from the dirty tobacco pipes of those that diffuse it. It proves nothing but the bad taste of the smoker." End of quote. Nora Johnson wrote, "The teenagers traded in gossip the way grown-ups play the stock market." End of quote. Susan Fromberg spoke about those who gossip. She says, "A talkative family flies around with news in their beaks like a bunch of blue jays." End of quote. William Congreve said of gossips, "They come together like the coroner's inquest to sit upon the murdered reputations of the past week." Ben Johnson said, "A secret in a gossip's mouth is like a wild bird put into a cage, whose door no sooner opens, but it is out." Novelist William Faulkner wrote, "The rumors had gone like a wildfire in dry grass." John Greenleaf Whittier stated, "Far and wide the tale was told like a snowball growing while it rolled." Interestingly, even good people, as you can see in the unsaved community, see the danger in gossip. That's why there are laws against slander and libel in every nation. Suppose gossip is my weakness. Suppose it is your weakness. What steps should we take to obey God's word in putting away gossip? It says, put away lying. Put away evil speaking. He says that in Ephesians 4. So here are the steps to putting it away. First of all, recognize gossip as a sin. You just have to admit that. And if you're a good Christian, you don't want to keep committing sin, right? You want to deal with it. And interestingly enough, when he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying," it's in the progressive form indicating you're not going to be able to do it one time and it's all over. I don't know about you, but there are certain sins in my life that I don't get permanent victory over. I assume it's the same with you. And every time they raise their ugly head, I've got to deal with it again, I've got to deal with it again, I've got to deal with it again, I've got to deal with it again. So to put away something is a one-time event, but putting away, as he says in Ephesians 4, is you do it over, and you do it over, and you do it over and over again. So recognize gossip as a sin. Very few Christians want to call innuendo, rumor, and frivolous talk sin. A lot of people even camouflage it as fellowship. A fellow called me one day and said, "Let's have some fellowship." So I met him and all he wanted to do was condemn another pastor. I said, "Well, that's not fellowship." Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." So we've listed the verses that shows that God hates gossip. And we've examined the passages that reveal gossip is destructive to people and to ministries. So we need to call gossip a sin. That's the first thing to do if you're going to put it away. You have to call it what it really is. Secondly, commit yourself to the truth. Ephesians 4:25 places speaking the truth at the heart of developing stable relationships. Every counseling session I have in which a husband and wife is having trouble getting along, in which an employee is having problems or the conflict between two people, after I dig down deep enough, I find out that somebody's lying to the other. That somebody is not committed to the truth in the relationship. You can't build relationships on lies. You can only build them on truth. So we've listed these verses and we've examined the passages and we want to commit ourselves to the truth. So if one is, here's an interesting principle. If one is not committed to the truth, catch this down. If one is not committed to the truth, he will become the victim to all the options of the truth. If one is not committed to the truth, he will become the victim to all the options of the truth. In other words, everything other than truth. So a person seeking to overcome the sin of gossip should recognize gossip as a sin, and then he should commit to the truth. And by the way, there are two types of truth. Does that amaze you? Let me give them to you. The first is God's Word. God's Word is absolute truth. My word is truth, Jesus said. That's never going to change. So that truth is a manifestation of the character of God, and it's going to never change. So when we're talking about God's word as truth, we're talking about an absolute. But the passage in Ephesians 4, where it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth every man with his neighbor," is not referring to God speaking to us. It's referring to us speaking to each other. So man's word can be absolute, but it can be accurate. So in Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor," doesn't refer to God's word to us, but it refers to our word to each other. We should therefore commit to passing on no information that is not accurate. A situation where I worked with certain people, and I was getting pretty close and getting tied into business relationships, and then I caught my partner in three extremely devastating lies. And I realized that that's not going to work, because I'm not going to tell the people we want to do business with lies. And yet he seems to be willing to do that. So I said, I'm going to have to get out of this situation, because I can't. We're telling people we're going to do certain things. We have to follow through. We can't make a commitment to them and then not do it and then take money from them. We've got to make sure we do it. So commit oneself to the truth. Be accurate when you say something. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthian church? Let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. So when you say yes, people should know what that means. When you say no, people should know what that means. And here's the third thing you can do if you want to overcome this sin of gossip, is have a friend to hold you accountable. Have a friend to hold you accountable. Now, I have a couple of people that I've given them permission to ask me about weaknesses in my life anytime they want to, and I have told them I will tell them the truth. So it's difficult to evaluate ourselves accurately. We need an honest friend, one who will hurt us in order to help us. Solomon referred to such a friend in Proverbs 27:17. He says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." The Hebrew word sharpen is an interesting word. It's what we call a causative verb. When it says sharpens, it actually makes something happen. And in the particular tense its original meaning was to make sharp, to make severe, or to be fierce. However, it came to be associated with decisiveness, and it means to have a keen mind, to be intellectually sharp. So iron sharpeneth iron, so a man intellectually sharpens the countenance of his friend. In the book of Proverbs, the writer encourages intercourse with the wise man, but not with the fool. And by the way, time with fools is wasted time, but time with wise men edifies and develops us in truth. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Proverbs 27:17, says this, quote, "Wise and profitable discourse sharpens men's wits, and those that have ever so much knowledge may by conference have something added to them. Good men's graces are sharpened by converse with those that are good, and bad men's lusts and passions are sharpened by converse with those that are bad, as iron is sharpened by its like." End of quote. Matthew Henry issues this warning based upon his translation and interpretation of Proverbs 27:17. He says, quote, "With caution take heed whom we choose to converse with, because the influence upon us is so great, either for the better or for the worse." End of quote. Matthew Henry also encourages us to improve both ourselves and others by all interactions. So dealing with gossip, if gossip is your weakness, recognize gossip as sin, call it that. And then number two, commit oneself to truth. Number three, have a friend to hold you accountable. And then number four, avoid people who traffic in gossip. Avoid people who traffic in gossip. The book of Proverbs constantly advises us not to associate with fools, but to seek every opportunity to associate with wise people. And in Proverbs 27:17, Matthew Henry indicated that our keenness in an area, for good or evil, will be sharpened by the association. And the writer of Psalm 119, which may have been a Levite, gave the standard for associating with people who can sharpen you for good. Here's what he said. "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." Psalm 119, verse 63. King Solomon further advised us in Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So in dealing with gossip as one's weakness, recognize gossip as sin, commit yourself to the truth, have a friend hold you accountable, avoid people who traffic in gossip, and then number five, declare your intention to God and to others. You know, an announcement strengthens resolve to do right. He says, Job says this in Job 27:4, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Once you make a public declaration regarding anything, you have invited all who heard it to evaluate how well you performed. Did you know that's the reason we have public weddings? The whole purpose of a wedding with a room full of witnesses is so when you exchange the vows, people can watch you for the rest of your life to see how well you keep your vows. You didn't know that. So, making a public declaration motivates us to discipline ourselves for the conquest. The patriarch Job told those around him, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." So, here's the last point now if you want to defeat the sin of gossip in one's life. Number six, deal quickly with any violation of your commitment. Deal quickly with any violation of your commitment. Now, you're human, so if you fail to deal with this sin, fail to conquer it, you should admit that quickly instead of sweeping it under the rug. Paul said in Ephesians 4:26, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." You should not let the sun go down on any sin you're having trouble with. We're admonished not to allow the sins of one day to be carried over to the next day. And by the way, sin is strengthened by being allowed to accumulate. So Jesus reminded us in Matthew 6:34, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So I don't need to go into tomorrow carrying today's problems while I'm getting ready to face tomorrow's problems, right? As Matthew Henry has observed, quote, "The present day has trouble enough attending it. We need not accumulate burdens by anticipating our troubles, nor borrow perplexities from tomorrow's evils to add those of this day. By handling today's burdens today, we prevent their being added to the troubles tomorrow will bring." End of quote. So, if you fail in dealing with the sin of gossip, then confess it quickly to God, and then confess it to anyone who is affected by it, and then deal quickly with any violation of your commitment to put away evil speaking. That's what he says. Let's stand for prayer. Father, Father, thank you for your word which challenges our hearts, and then thank you that you understand our weaknesses, and whenever we do fail, we can always come back to you, seek forgiveness, and deal honestly with our sins. Help us not to fall into that group of people who just let their sins go on and on and on, and they never deal with their anger, they never deal with their bitterness, they never deal with their dishonesty, they never deal with their gossip, they never deal with their manipulation of others. They just simply go on living their lives without any consideration of right and wrong or what you approve or disapprove. Help us not to want to be a part of that. Help us to want to be those who are willing to be held accountable and those who are willing to deal with our weaknesses, our sins, and our failures, and who are willing to allow you to use us by handling all of those things that are hindrances in our life. Speak to our hearts right now as we open the altar, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.